So for those who have not been around very much, or perhaps don't know, our theme this year is coming back to the heart of Christmas. And last week we thought about hearts open. The first week we thought about hearts broken. And this week we'll be thinking about hearts changed. So every week we sing the words of a song. We've changed the words from worship to Christmas. So we're going to sing that first, and then we've got some special people coming and lighting our Advent candles this morning. So we remain seated as we sing, coming back to the heart of Christmas, and then we'll have our Advent candles lit. So let's sing together.
At the heart of Christmas is Jesus, who came to heal broken hearts. At the heart of Christmas is Jesus, who came to open hearts. At the heart of Christmas is Jesus, who came to change hearts.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to hand over to Charlotte now, who's going to lead this opening part of our service before our congregation separates. So I'll hand over to Charlotte.
And turn my mic on, that's always helpful, sorry.
Ooh. Good morning, church. It's lovely to be together this morning. We're going to start with a song, so I hope you have a little bit of energy this morning, because there's a few actions, so you might want to get on your feet if you can, and we're going to sing something called No Ordinary Baby. So feel free to stand and let's give this a go.
Watched in wonder as his life it did unfold. We'll sing his praise, we'll give glory to him now. We'll bring our thanks to him, the one and only Jesus, Savior of the world. Ordinary Christmas. Let's remember what was done. When God gave the world the gift of His precious Holy Son. Oh, we'll sing His praise. We'll give glory to Him. Now we'll bring our thanks to Him, the one and only Jesus, Savior of the
got my prop, and I might need a couple of volunteers because I brought something with me today. We're going to use a Christmas cracker. So would anybody like to come and pull this cracker for me? Oh, we have one person. Oh, we have two. Do you guys want to pull it together? There you go. One on either end. Pull it. Let's see what happens. Ready? One, two, three. Pull really hard, pull really hard. Show help, ready? Keep pulling, keep pulling. I might need another adult on the other end. Ready, what do you think? Yay! Brilliant. Now, shall we see what is inside? Would you like to see what's inside for me? Okay, so. Oh, oh. Now, one of you could hold this for me. Oh, have you got it? Yeah, can somebody pick that one? Somebody can get that bit of paper. Oh, does somebody want to put this on their head?
Yeah.
You want to put that on your head? There we go. Brilliant. And there should be another bit. Here we go. Look, we're going to turn this into... Can you see? It's a Christmas tree decoration and it's a reindeer. Can you see? So can you stand in the middle and hold them up? You can see the beautiful crown. Okay, and we've got a gift, and we have a joke. Now this got me thinking about Jesus. So, Jesus is the King of Kings, isn't he? He is the King of Kings. I wonder, what else? What other words might you use to describe Jesus? So shall we share? What other words might you use to describe Jesus?
Lord.
Saviour.
Son of God.
King of Kings.
King of Kings.
The righteousness of God.
Friend.
Revolutionary.
Oh, I like it, yes.
Emmanuel.
God with us. God with us, yeah. Brilliant. So that's thinking about the crown from our cracker. Next, we have the gift. And in this one, it is a Christmas tree decoration. And it's a reindeer in this case. But Jesus is a gift. He was a gift from God to the world. That's something we can be so thankful for. So I wonder, what are we thankful for today? Other than the amazing gift of Jesus, what else would we like to say thank you for today? For health.
Yeah.
Family. friends,
for better days to come.
Yeah. Brilliant. I'm sure we've got lots of other things that we can all think of that we are thankful for.
Ooh.
For friends. Yeah, definitely. And then last but not least, all crackers have a joke, and they're never really that good. Shall we see what this one says? Okay. What did Cinderella say when her photos didn't arrive on time? One day my prince will come. I think that just goes to prove my point. They're never that good. But what this reminds me of is the fact that God, that Jesus, wants us to share everything with him. And it doesn't matter if it's something that makes us feel sad, if it's something that makes us groan like this joke, if it's something that makes us feel really happy. Jesus wants us to share everything with him, especially how we're feeling. So just for a moment, just in your head, just share with Jesus. Just have a little conversation with him about how you're feeling today. Maybe you're feeling really happy. Something good has happened this week and you want to share that with Jesus. Maybe you're worried about something and you want to talk to Jesus about it. Maybe something's made you sad. But whatever it is, just have a little conversation with Jesus in your head and just tell him how you're feeling. And I'll just finish with a prayer for all of us, okay? So loving God, thank you for the gift of King Jesus, who loved us and wants to be our friend and our saviour. Thank you for sending him to the world, a moment that changed everything. Help us this Christmas and always to share the good news about Jesus with everyone. And shall we finish with a big roly-poly amen? Ready? Ready? Amen! Brilliant! Thank you so much to my helpers. I'll take the rubbish for you. You can keep the crown if you like. And you can keep the Christmas decoration if you like. Thank you very much. Now, Sue and I were chatting earlier in the week when we were thinking about this service. And Sue mentioned the book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. I wonder how many of you have either read the book or maybe watched the film or a version of it somewhere. Yeah, me too. I loved this story as a child growing up. I read it all the time. I had all the picture books. I even had a giant Aslan, which was like my favourite thing in the world. I used to pull him around till eventually his ear fell off because he just went everywhere with me. But I loved this book. And when we were talking, have you ever read this book? Would you like to have a look? You can look at that if you want. That's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. There we go. And when we were thinking about it, I thought it'd be really good to share today. So, now the story is set in a land called Narnia, okay, just in case you don't know. And Narnia has been controlled by the White Witch. Can we all do a big boo? Because she's not a very nice person. Boo! Boo! We don't like the White Witch. She isn't a very nice person. She's controlling Narnia. And in fact, because of her, Narnia is always in winter. So it's always cold and it's always dark. It's always really chilly. Can we also maybe do a bit of this? And it's always winter. But it's never Christmas. So nobody in Narnia gets to celebrate Christmas, which I think is really sad. Now, the White Witch, she isn't actually the queen. We need to boo again. Boo! She's not actually the queen. She shouldn't be ruling Narnia. And there's this ancient prophecy of Narnia that tells of two daughters of Eve, so two girls, and two sons of Adam, so two boys, coming to Narnia. And that those four humans, these two boys, these two girls, were the rightful rulers of Narnia. Now, without wanting to give too much away, just in case you haven't read it and you do want to go and read it, in the story, four siblings, so two brothers and two girls, they hide in a wardrobe. They're hiding from some grown-ups. And they hide in the wardrobe. And all of a sudden, they manage to get to Narnia through the back of the wardrobe, through these coats. And they end up in Narnia. And when they're there, they begin to meet different characters. So there's Mr. and Mrs. Beaver. I personally love them. I think they are brilliant. They meet them, and they're going to help them get to Narnia and meet this really special person called Aslan. And as they're journeying, Santa Claus appears with presents. How exciting is that? Which means that Christmas is starting to be celebrated again in Narnia. And the word spreads of these boys and girls being in Narnia. And the White Witch's spell starts to break. The hope. Remember, we talked about that on week one, didn't we? The hope that these kids bring weakened the darkness. They were no ordinary children. The people of Narnia had been waiting for them for so, so long. And because of these four children arriving, the people in Narnia changed. They began to have hope. They wanted to fight the darkness. Now, don't you think that sounds a little bit similar to the Christmas story? The Jewish people, we heard, didn't we, week one, had been waiting and waiting and waiting for a really long time for this saviour to come, for the Messiah to come. Darkness seemed to be taking over the whole world, and there was a prophecy of a special baby being born. And then Jesus was born, and he was no ordinary baby. He was the King of Kings, the rightful ruler, the one who brought hope and light to the darkness. And the moment Jesus was born changed everything. A bit like the moment the four children stumbled through the back of the wardrobe into Narnia. Changed everything in that story. And that's what we're going to think about today. Here in church and in our groups when we separate, how Jesus changed the world. And how actually the Christmas story should change us too. And we're going to be focusing on the shepherds and how their hearts were changed by Jesus. And I'll leave it there because I don't want to give anything else away.
So our children, in a moment, the young people are going to go out to their own group. They're going to be thinking about shepherds, and we're going to be hearing our Bible passages and thinking about our theme today. Before they go, just a couple of important things to tell you. Firstly, don't forget all our Christmas services are on these cards, so please take one or take one for somebody else. There's a Christmas lunch next Sunday, so you can sign up on the sign-up sheet or let the office know. Next Sunday's service is going to be an intergenerational service. Everyone welcome, lots of activity, and we're going to be looking at the nativity story, which is very exciting. And if you're really in good voice at this time of year, next week after the carol service, we're going to be carol singing on behalf of Action for Children. Part of our response, really, to the Christmas story, to raise that money and bring a bit of light to the people just around the drive and that area. So if you want to come, we'll be carol singing after next week's carol service. So I think that's all the news. So let's just pray for us as a congregation as we separate. So loving God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can share so much of this time together. And we ask you now to bless us as we stay in the church and bless the young people as they go out to their groups, that we might know and learn more about you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you everyone. Read our two Bible passages today. One is from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, one that is often read at this time of year and at Christmas, the story of the people who were walking in darkness, seeing a great light. And then we're going to hear a passage from Luke's Gospel. And this is the story. We pick up the story just after Jesus has been born and as the angel appears to the shepherds and the shepherds' experience as they came into contact and engaged with Jesus. So first from Isaiah and then Luke 2, verses 8 to 20.
So, as Sue said, this is Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. The darkness turns to light. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in the blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And our second reading from Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thanks be to God.
In that story of Narnia, at the beginning, it was always winter and never Christmas. And actually, it's always winter and never Christmas, unless we have Christmas in our hearts. And we're going to sing a Christmas, an Advent song, Singing the Faith 197, "Cradled in a Manger Meanly." And there's a wonderful line in verse 3 that says, "Make a Christmas in my heart. Make a Christmas in my heart." So let's make that our prayer this Christmas, for ourselves and for others. Make a Christmas in our hearts. So let's stand and sing, "Cradled in a Manger Meanly." Thank you. to take a seat. When I was a small child, I had a great fear of darkness. So when the light was switched off, I would lay there with my heart beating really fast, filled with dread, and I remember laying there with my eyes wide open, just too scared to shut them. I was terrified of the darkness. I imagined something awful creeping out from under my bed, or maybe something ghoulish crawling out from the wardrobe, or something awful scratching at the windows, something lurking in the shadows. Obviously, as a child, I had a very vivid imagination. But I think programmes like Doctor Who, and I remember as a child I watched this thing called Salem's Lot. I mean, I was only quite small, I don't know why I saw it, but there was this really scary moment where this vampire came and scratched on the windows of this child's bedroom. That played on my mind so much. And often programmes play on our fears, and they still do, especially as a Doctor Who fan, I still feel scared by some of the things that I see. And I'm sure I'm not alone about this fear of darkness. And maybe also we fear darkness because in it we feel lost. Maybe we don't feel safe. And in the darkness we struggle to find our way. But darkness doesn't just conjure up spooky things or things that make us jump or even gives the impression of us being unsafe. Darkness can also symbolise all that is bad and corrupt and unjust and chaotic. Often we feel like the world is a dark place. The Omicron variant is spreading. Threats by Russia to invade the Ukraine. Government and police failings. Homelessness. Food poverty. The world can seem like a dark place. We hear and see and experience the darkness of human behaviour and sin almost every day, and the terrible consequences of it, often through the news that we read or hear. Darkness can also be deeply personal. It's something that we feel or experience in our own hearts and in our own lives. When we feel sad or confused or depressed or upset, we can often feel or say that we feel we're in a dark place. At times it feels like darkness will somehow overwhelm us, or the darkness of our thoughts and feelings will perhaps lead us into a difficult direction. And in that darkness, when we're afraid, in that darkness when maybe the world feels like it will overwhelm us, in our own personal times of darkness, we long and we wait for the light. We long and we hope for light to dispel that darkness, to shine into that sense of being overwhelmed. We need that light to guide us, to help us, to show us the way. We long for that light to come and change the ways of the world and to shine brightly into the world's darkness. We long for light. We heard in that Isaiah passage, the prophet said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It was a prophecy about one who would come and transform lives, that would transform the world. Someone who would shine a light even into the darkest crevices of humanity and human behaviour. One who would come as a wonderful counsellor. And Heather, you didn't sing it when you read. Heather was saying earlier that as she was reading the passage at home, it reminded her of the Messiah, and she wanted to burst into song of a wonderful counsellor, a prince of peace, someone who would come and establish justice. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And in that story from Luke's Gospel, we hear that the light has come. Jesus, the light of the world, has been born among us. And in that story, the light of Christ shone brightly into the hearts of those shepherds as they were tending their sheep. They were outcasts. They were looked down upon. They lived lives of hardship and struggle and poverty. Yet when they visited the Christ, the light changed them. Suddenly their hearts were changed and they experienced acceptance and love and joy and hope. And they went away praising God and telling others of their experience. The light of Christ changed the hearts of Mary and Joseph. They were far away from home, uncertain, unfearful for the safety of their child because they had nowhere for him to be born. Their lives at that time were filled with darkness. And yet, the light of fulfilled promises, the light of assurance and peace, shone into their hearts when he was born. And their lives were changed forever. In fact, Mary said, or it said that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And she must have continued to treasure all those things when so much darkness filled her life, not just with the difficulty of the birth, but as she faced Jesus' death. Our theme this week is hearts changed. And that's because that's where the Christmas message needs to start. That's where the light needs to shine first. Todd Stucker said, "A change of heart changes everything. A change of heart changes everything." And it's true, because that when the light of Christ shines into our hearts, it changes us. The light of Christ heals and comforts, it quells fears and it reassures. As the light of Christ shines into our hearts, it brings a change of lifestyle and behaviour. The light of Christ enables us to love more deeply, to care more openly, to be more generous. With the light of Christ changing our hearts, we are guided and helped and restored. With the light changing our hearts, we become resistors of violence. We become advocates against hatred. We become protesters against unjust powers. We can become people who can transform the world around us. And thank you, Angela, who I think said, when we talked about a name for Jesus, was revolutionary, I think, is what Angela said. And that is true. And that light in our hearts can also make us revolutionary. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds changed the world because of who they were and what they did, and because their hearts had been changed. And that quote by Todd Stucker is elaborated through a different quote through Marianne Williamson, who said this: "A change of hearts leads to a change in behaviour, and a change in behaviour leads to changing the world." Isn't that so true? A change of hearts leads to a change in behaviour, and a change in behaviour leads to changing the world. And that is what coming back to the heart of Christmas is all about. We love the story. We love to sing the carols. We love the food. We love the Christmas lights and the church activities. But at the heart of Christmas is darkness transforming light that is among us and has the power to change us and the world. And on that note, I want to finish with a story. And it's the story about how the light of Christ lived in the hearts of a small group of people. It's about how they shone that light for others, and it's about how that light changed the world. So Nicolae Ceaușescu ruled Romania with an iron fist. He was a dictator, a devoted atheist, whose goal was to eradicate every hint of Christianity from his country. One night, shortly before Christmas in 1989, a small group of Christians met in Timișoara to protest the eviction of their pastor, Laszlo Tokes. Each of them held a lit candle and sang Christmas carols and praises to Jesus. Romanian soldiers, armed with weapons, came and told them to go home, to stop. This was not allowed. Ceausescu had outlawed all Christian gatherings. They refused. They stayed where they were with their lit candles, singing praises to God. The army didn't know what to do, so they phoned Ceausescu, and he said if they refused to go home, shoot them. So the army said to them, please, they begged them, go home, you cannot be here. And they refused. They continued to hold their lights and to sing carols. And the army opened fire, and many of them were shot and killed. Shortly afterwards, in that town of Timisoara, there were not just a few gathered, but 250,000 gathered in the town square with their lit candles, men, women and children singing praises to God. Revolution spread throughout Romania, and on Christmas Day 1989, Ceausescu was ousted from power, shot and killed. A small amount of light can make a huge difference. I'm coming back to the heart of Christmas, and it's all about you, Jesus, light of the world. And so this Christmas, Jesus, come as light to change our hearts. Come as light to shine in our lives. And come as light to transform our world. Amen. There's a wonderful modern Christmas song called Noel. It may be familiar to some of you. We have sung it previously. We've used it in our digital worship. And in it, the words say, come and see what God has done, the light of the world given for us. Hopefully you have all got a candle. If you haven't, there are some on the tables. We're going to remain seated as we listen to this song. If you know it, you can join in. And two of our stewards are going to come and light the candles just at the end of the rows. As we listen to this song, or as you join in, I just invite you then to light the person's candle next to you as we share and spread that light together. And then we're going to move into a time of prayer. So we'll remain seated as we listen to or sing the song, Noel, come and see what God has done, the light of the world given for us.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign, bow to babe on bended knee, Savior of humanity, unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel,
Then just hold your candle and remain in your seat. So we move into a time of prayer. As we hold our candles, we stand in solidarity with all those who are trying to bring light into our dark world. We pray for peacekeepers and peacemakers, proclaimers of love, patient revolutionaries, all who stand against violence, hatred and injustice. As we hold our candles, we pray for light to transform human behaviour, to transform hatred to love, intolerance to acceptance, aggression to gentleness, ignorance to understanding. As we hold our candle, we pray for the light of Christ to change hearts where we are worn and tired, disillusioned, disappointed, fearful and anxious. To change hearts when lives feel lost, without direction, without hope and without guidance. To change hearts bound by sin. As we hold our candle, we remember the words of Isaiah the prophet. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Unto them a child is born, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen, Lord Jesus. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our final hymn together. There's a light upon the mountains. And as we think about that light of Christ, we also think in that verse where it says, but these angels here are human. We are the ones with that light of Christ in our hearts that share that light with others. And so we can keep our candles lit as we sing, there's a light upon the mountains. we say the words of the blessing together that are on the screen. Let's pray. As we come back to the heart of Christmas, may God bless us, God touch us, God inspire us, God change us. Amen. Amen.